That's good.
Start talking now? Okay. I was pretending I have a crew, you know, like I can talk to people and then I'm caught talking to my crew. You know how they do on those news feeds sometimes and then they swear and get fired. It could happen. Anyway, my name is Madge Weinstein. I'm a food allergic lesbian with food allergies. I know that's redundant, but it's important to understand that I have food allergies. Okay, I just wanted to talk about a very important thing before I forget about it, so hopefully this will be a short show. And, I wasn't expecting to do this. It's a Sunday afternoon. I did my yoga and walked around by myself, as usual, and did not get fucked. However, that doesn't mean I didn't think about it. It does mean, however, I did not have the opportunity to do so with lips. Now,
a vagina.
Oh, shoot.
A vagina.
Sorry.
A vagina.
That's my self-conscious subconscious doing.
A vagina. A vagina. A vagina. A vagina.
Sorry, I'm almost there.
A vagina. A vagina.
Hello, hello, hello.
A vagina, a vagina.
Shush. Okay, enough with avoiding the subject matter at hand, my vagina. Did anybody notice the Easter egg with Lisswood in the last show that had music in it? I can't remember which one it was. I had a lot of music in it or something. Whatever, never mind. I want to talk about, God, Lord, I'm overmodulating. Why? What's going on with me? I don't want to overmodulate. Hello, I'm going to control my voice. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to control it using dials. I'm going to, let's just turn it down a little. All right. Dial out. Testing 1, 2, 3. I got a uterus. It's dried like a prune in a fig. Oh, that's Cheryl. Yeah. This is Madge Weinstein. I do get to the point eventually, if you're new. I do get to the point eventually. I do get to the point. You can reach me. I'm wiping my microphone, which looks like an 8-inch penis, exactly. I'm wiping it with my fingers to get the dust off. If you want to reach me, bloatedlesbian@gmail.com. Better yet, send me a voicemail, 206-888-CUNT, 206-888-CUNT. It goes straight onto my pogrom. Yeah, please do that. And I'm Skype Madge Weinstein once every third Thursday. Not really. Look, a lot of people, like everyone I've talked to, has asked me, what do you think of this so-and-so person, this McCain pick for vice president? And I say the same thing. I don't care. That's a ruse. It's a waste of time to even think about, talk about, discuss, and especially take up time on the media. Now, let me explain something to you. This is, once again, Karl Rove not making a mistake, as many people claim, but this is Karl Rove being brilliant. However, that doesn't make me the least bit scared. It just means I have to educate you fucking pop culture sucking idiots as to what's going on. You see, what's completely irrelevant here is whether or not she is capable of doing the job of vice president, president. It's completely irrelevant. None of that matters. What matters is the fact that Karl Rove and those Republican thus and so's, I'm not going to be mean because I'm a lesbian, we're treated bad enough in the world and we don't need to bring that on others, right? Anyway, so this is a typical Rovian move. Brilliant. You see, one thing Karl Rove understands is sociology, collective consciousness, and he understands Freudian psychology as well. He understands advertising and its in its purest, most effective form, which is go after people's emotions and avoid the logic circuits at all costs. Now, Along with that is something I've talked about before, which is the fact that pop culture is used as a it's used as a frequency jamming mechanism, very similar to what they would use in propaganda wars, where if we'd go, let's say to, let's say we're bombing Iraq while Saddam was still there. He's got all these broadcasts saying, you know, America sucks, America sucks. So we come in, we jam the signals with our jamming equipment. Pop culture serves the exact same purpose in order to stop people from thinking about issues in politics. And what that does is it creates people that are stupid, and it makes people not see the issues. Okay, now follow me. I realize this may not make a lot of sense because I'm dumb. But I try not to be dumb, so you have to beware with me. Bear with me. But I know what I finna want to say. Okay, so the point is just this. Andy, no. I'm going into record player mode. I've got 3 years left of sanity before I slip into total Alzheimer's, I swear. So what Rove is doing is he's using this VP choice as a way to block political discussion. In the same way that a Britney Spears or a Paris Hilton, although Paris does her own thing to sort of counterbalance that, or at least she has a couple times, and I think she's pretty good, and I think she's to be commended for doing so. But Amy Winehouse, all this other bullshit that the media talks about when, you know, taking up so much bandwidth for political discourse. Now, what we have here is we have all of that pop culture talk for a couple of months trumped by political discussion. So it becomes harder for the Republicans to block it. Republicans want to block it because they don't want you to see the issues and see and have real discussions, because it will become ridiculously obvious that Obama is there to help 95% of the population, minimum, probably a lot more than that. And McCain is there to help the tiny, tiny percent of the percentage of the population who are millionaires and have retarded babies and keep them rich. He wants to keep them rich. That's what he's there for. That's what these tax cuts are for the companies. There's no such thing as trickle-down economics. We've had since Reagan to see if it works. It doesn't fucking work. It just means our jobs go away. And it means we get less rights, and it means you have more fucking homeless people on the street asking for change. That's what it means. It means you don't get health care. It means you don't get benefits. It means there's less welfare, and poor people stay poor longer, and Katrina kills. And this week, I don't know what this Gustav will do, but it basically means Atlas shrugged and Ayn Rand was totally right and wrong at the same time. She was wrong in her political assuasions. She was right in that this is that a complete failure of the system would happen, though, and as a complete opposite cause of what she suspected. She thought it would be because of collectivism. What, in fact, it's because of extreme free market capitalism. The very thing that Ayn Rand practiced and preached, free market capitalism, in order to protect against, has happened because of her philosophy, adopted by Ronald Reagan and Alan Greenspan. It was fiction. It was fiction, gentle audience. Atlas Shrugged was fiction. And I recommend reading it if you haven't, even though it's 1,000,000,000 pages. It was fiction. Trickle-down economics was fiction that came out of a book, that came out of a woman who was kicked out of Soviet Russia as a Jew and was very, very angry at communists. And she created a fiction called free market capitalism. Trickle-down economics. Well, she didn't create free market capitalism, but the trickle-down economics thing, that was pretty much her. That was pretty much her. Anyway, it was in a book of fiction. Atlas Shrugged is in the fiction section. It's not in the economics section of the library. It's fiction. So preaching it is stupid. Free market capitalism to an extreme, which is what Ayn Rand practiced, is a failure. Okay? Anyway, that's way too much of a digression. Let me explain this, gentle audience. So, in other words, it's if Karl Rove and the Republican Party were to allow people to investigate the issues and have real debates for a long enough amount of time for them to come to a realistic conclusion or a well thought out conclusion based on facts, they would clearly vote for Obama. Okay? So one thing McCain did so basically this VP choice is a way to jam those signals of discourse, the bandwidth of discourse in the media. And it's working. So every time a Democrat says, Madge, what do you think of this so-and-so VP choice? You're helping them, okay? You're helping them because we could be saying, gosh, Madge, you know, I have this friend and she thinks that Obama's no good for healthcare. What can we tell her? That's good discussion. Or, gee, Madge, how is healthcare? Can we talk about how Obama's healthcare is different from McCain's? Wow. What exactly are McCain's policies? You know, I mean, these are things we could have, but instead it becomes, well, you know, should we worry about this because we're always used to getting beaten because we're the party of pussies? No. Just don't worry about it. Oh.
Please don't worry about it and don't be concerned about the size of the penis.
Exactly. Or the lack of it. Or the lack of it. So, that's it, really. So forget about this VP choice. What it does is it serves as a pop culture jamming mechanism. That what Karl Rove was actually brilliant because he realized, okay, we can't use Amy Winehouse. We can't send out memos in Fox News to only discuss Britney Spears. We have to have a pop culture equivalent. We have to create a celebrity because celebrities are what stop people from discussing this crap. But in the 2 months before the election, which is where we're at now, or where we are, in the two-month period now, even celebrities can't trump political discussion. So the brilliant thing that Rove did is he said, wow, what if we take a celebrity and make it part of this political process so that they can't avoid it? So what's going to happen is they'll take this candidate who's dressed up like a female equivalent of Clark Kent. They'll give her a makeover. It'll make huge news. And every day they'll probably have another huge story that's completely superficial about what she's wearing or how she's going to change her look or how she feels about Botox or she'll be on The View. People will fight about her. She'll exchange barbs. She'll get in little controversies. And it'll all be about her if you let it. But if, on the other hand, when people try to get you to discuss this crap, you say, let's talk about issues instead. And when you see people talking about it on the news, about superfluous shit, write them a letter and say, let's talk about issues instead. Somewhere on my website, there is a take action page that has all the numbers of all the major news networks. You can call them. You can also look them up for your fucking self. But see, it's a jamming mechanism. Those people, those pundits like Rush Limbaugh, who says, wow, we've got a babe now. You know what? Turn him off. Don't talk about him. Don't spread him. He's just fat. And that's just bullshit, okay? It's just propaganda. I mean, I don't know. This, just please. Don't buy into it. I want you to understand something. This choice of VP thing has nothing to do with how qualified she is or not qualified. She's clearly not, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what her positions are on pro-choice, pro-life. She's clearly not qualified. It's a joke. She's a celebrity that has been placed there to make you talk about her. You Democrats, you middle people, you non-voters, and you voters to talk about her. So don't buy into it. Don't discuss it. Make her irrelevant and talk about the real issues. Watch the Obama speech over and over and over again till you understand what he stands for. And I posted it on the Mevio feed of Insane Films, but then I realized that on iTunes there's a Democratic 2000, the name of the show is a podcast, a free podcast with all the speeches on it from the convention. It's called 2008 Democratic National Convention or something like that. So you can go to iTunes, subscribe to it for free, watch Obama's speech over and over again. You can watch the other ones or you can listen to it. It's available both audio and or video. Understand what he stands for. That's the best thing you can do instead of discussing. So if you're watching the news and they're talking about some bozo candidate, which maybe you're absorbing because it you know, pulls into some lower part of your brain that likes to talk about douchebags and airheads. Okay. You have to be smarter than that. You have to let your, what is the higher part? The cerebrum? I think it's the cerebrum, not the cerebellum. Whichever part is higher. Let it do its job and say, hey, you know what, gentle audience member? Yeah, maybe you're an idiot for talking about this or watching this discussion about nothing. Maybe you should go and go to your iTunes and watch the Obama speech again and understand what he stands for and feel the emotion that that man put into that humongous stadium of people. Do you understand me, audience? See, we are basically, I hate to use this analogy because I hate war and I'm a pacifist, but soldiers, in order to get this guy elected, we have to get Obama elected. We have to have discussions about it. We have to do whatever we can as individuals to do it, which means it's a grassroots thing. It's a grassroots thing. It's a grassroots thing. Discuss it. Talk about it on your podcast. Blog it. Whatever you do, wherever your forums are, do this and make people understand that this woman is a ruse. This thing, it doesn't matter what she wears, what she thinks, how close she is to Russia physically. That's all a joke. The Daily Show shouldn't be talking about it. And this is just not news. Talk about it for one day and then you're done. Okay? Let's talk about the issues and spread this idea, please. And if you disagree with me, please give me a call. Or if you can elaborate better, because I don't feel that I've been able to explain it very well, then by all means, call 206-888-CUNT and explain it better or write it for me. Now, I'm going to read something that Stacey Herbert wrote, who is one of the most intelligent people I know. Her and Max Kaiser do Karma Bank, and she is a professional screenwriter, and she writes the scripts for his Al Jazeera movies. Anyway, whatever. I hope I'm allowed to read this. I don't care if I'm sorry, Stacey. I mean, whatever. I'm going to read this, and then I've got a nice song to play for you from Joanna Newsom that just made the entire audience at the Chicago Symphony so silent, as my friend said, not only could you hear a pin drop, you could hear a rat piss. She stunned the audience with the song I'm going to play at the end of the show. Stunned it. Stunned it, stunned it. It's such a beautiful song. She played with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and the entire audience was mesmerized, and there certainly wasn't a dry eye in that room any more than there was in Obama's speech. Where is it, Stacy? Oh, Roger Smalls has a question. Dearest Magdalena, I'm not going to answer that. Sorry. I was wondering if Hillary Clinton left your crack. I'm not going to talk about that, Roger, as I just explained. Sorry. But thank you for the email, and I will read others from you. Where the fuck is it? She just sent me a goddamn email. Did I fucking lose it? Oh, no, it was a comment. I'm sorry. It was a comment on Yeast Radio. Oh, let's see. Oh, I really love the song that I'm about to play. A lot of comments, 20 comments in the last. Let's see. Oh, Cheryl. Blayhu, Blayho, Blayhoon. She is so intelligent. Somebody asks me, Wasabi Shamara, who does Madge needs? Who does Madge need? I think he means, what does Madge, why, perhaps, does Madge need a Braun Series 5? 8985 men's shaver. Because I'm a lesbian and we have thick hair. Just buy it for me. And I would like to thank very much, in fact, thank you very much to Wayne, who has bought me an iPod Touch, and I should have it next week. That is such a wonderful gift. Thank you so much. You are wonderful. I don't know what I do to deserve this, but especially being an asshole. But thank you so much. And somebody please buy me that fucking coffee maker on there. That's $700, and I really want it. I've wanted it for years. Anyway, whatever. Stacey Herbert writes, John McCain, a 72-year-old four-time cancer survivor, selects unknown former beauty queen and journalism major for his running mate. America, and Stacey lives in Paris, as she's an expat, never coming back as far as I know. America is now officially America is now officially a joke of a nation. Driven out of spite for feminazis, the so-called red states. Fuck. I lost my place. Where the fuck did it go? Why won't my back button work? Jesus, I'm sorry, audience. I'm really sorry. Goodness gracious me. History button. Sorry about that. I was trying to fucking focus in on this fucking thing because my eyes are 1,000 years old. Okay. Driven out of spite for feminazis, the so-called red states gave us 8 years of Bush. Now, apparently, out of spite for a black man going before the white woman, a bunch of so-called blue state women are going to, out of spite, give us another 4 years on the gas pedal into the trash bin of history? What a joke of a nation. Any candidate that emerges with even half a brain cell is called elitist. And apparently the population, or at least tens of millions of them, take this as a serious reason to vote against a candidate, for they do not want the best person to be president. They want someone who is a reflection of their own undereducated, obese, moronic selves. The very opposite of what a group interested in survival does. Well, this is the natural progression of what Karl Rove and his ilk have wrought upon the nation. It's funny that a lot of alleged Hillary supporters called Obama inadequate. I know it's code for black, but in truth, Americans are seemingly caught in a spiral of continuously voting for the most inadequate of candidates. The dumber and more like them the candidates are, the more likely they are to get into office. So as America chooses dumber and dumber presidents, they grow dumber and fatter and unhealthier as a nation and then vote for a more dumb and more moronic leader. All thanks to the popular dumb vote. McCain selected Palin. He might as well have lighted one of his own farts for all of its seriousness. But of course, he had lighted his fart. Had he lighted his fart, tens of millions of Americans would have seen him as being even more just like one of them. McCain would win in a landslide if he had, in fact, lighted his own fart. Palin is the natural progression of this notion that a president you choose is the one with whom you could have a beer. Not one opinion paper, not one time has she had her ideas, whatever they may be, challenged in the public arena. Not one time has she had to articulate her views on where we go as a nation, because, as I said before, it is not a nation that cares about survival anymore. Idiocracy was one of the most prescient films of the past few decades. Beavis and Butthead would truly be viable candidates in reality, not just in the movies. What a joke of a nation. You are like those chickens. They want to be bred with no brains. Excuse me. You are like those chickens. They want to breed with no brains. Take heart, however, that every single empire has done the same exact thing. Not one has escaped the same fate of evangelical-like decline into religious fanaticism and obese citizenry, wallowing in feces and stupidity. The Brits, the Spaniards, the Dutch, and the Romans did the same. They all cut off their noses to spite their face. What a joke of a nation. I live in France, and it's funny the dramatically opposite way the population is. Ignorance and obesity are not a source of pride. The population vocally demands that their own democratically elected leaders are actually better, smarter, and wiser than they themselves are. The president must not talk in slang or the language of the common man. He or she must be seen as serious. He or she must be intelligent and articulate. Thanks, Madge, for doing what you can to stop the very, very bad joke. And she leaves a link, which you can find on my blog, the recent show, Yeast Radio number 844. If you look in the comments, look at Stacy's comment, and at the end there's a link you can follow. Thank you, Stacy of KarmaBankRadio.com and also MaxKaiser.com. They are amazing opinion leaders in the world, and like I say, they do films for Al Jazeera. They're just amazing, and Max understands what's going on. And if you want to hear a podcast that makes a lot of sense, even though they're only doing it like once a week now, I wish they would do it more. KarmaBankRadio.com, and I think it's on iTunes too. Karma Bank, but it's KarmaBanque. Karma Bank, the French spelling.
The meadowlark and the chimney and the sparrow said to the sky in a flying spree for the sport of the pharaoh. Little while later, the Pharisees dragged a comb the meadow. Do you remember what they called up to you and me in our window? There is a rusty light on the pines tonight, some corn wine, Lord or Mary. spires of the churches jutting out from the shadow. The yoke and the axe and the old smokestacks and the bale and the barrow. And everything sloped like it was dragged from a rope in the mouth of the south below. We've seen
bye.
fire flare. I've seen your bravery, and I will follow you there. And go through the night time, so healthy, gone healthy all of a sudden, in search of a midwife who can help me, who can help me. Help me find my way back in. And there are worries where I've been. And say, 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 and believe. Your song that banishes winter. Let us go, though we know it's a hopeless endeavor. The ties that bind, they are barbed and spined and hold us close forever. Though there is nothing would help me come to grips with a sky that is gaping and yawning. There is a song I woke with on my lips as you sailed your great ship towards the morning. Come on home, the poppies are all grown knee deep, I know. Blossom, all have fallen. Peonies nod in the breeze, and while they wetly bow with hydrocephalic listlessness ants mop up their brows, and everything with wings is restless, aimless, jumping down. Butterflies and birds collide at hot, ungodly hours, and my clay-colored motherlessness rangely reclines. Come on home. Borders just asterism in the stars set order. Well, we could stand for a century staring with our heads cocked in the broad daylight at this thing. Joy, landlocked in bodies that don't keep. Struck with the sweetness of being till we don't be told, take this. See you.
rage upon throne from the void that lies quiet and afraid to thee. Oh.
Please treat them kindly, but firmly. Treat them with respect.